I don't know about you, but this week I've had one of those weeks where it's like Murphy's Law all over again. If anything could go wrong, it would, and it did. And it's just kind of like, you know, even to the point of so, but we're here, and I'm so thankful that, you know, as Julie had mentioned, that no matter what, God accepts us. You know, He accepts who we are in the state that we're in, and we don't have to be a certain person, a certain thing. We don't have to go a certain place, and that's what we're going to find here this morning in our text. We've been working through our mission statement. Our mission statement is loving Jesus, growing together, and serving our world. And we find ourselves completing growing together. Over the last couple weeks, we have saw what it means to be interconnected as the body of Christ. We saw last week what it means to be truly focused and truly to eliminate all those distractions in our life and to be truly focused upon Christ to grow in our relationship with Him. This morning, I just want to just break it down and be very simple, to be honest with you. Sometimes in my journey with Christ, I complicate things. And so this morning, I just want to just break it down very simple. Our text is out of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. And the situation is this. Jesus has been, you know, He's been in dialogue with the Pharisees. And the Pharisees, they had all these rules, they had all these things that they would heap up on people so that they would be quote-unquote acceptable to a holy God. Meaning the Pharisees said you had to do certain things, you had to obey certain rules, you had to go certain places, and you couldn't go other places. And what Jesus responds to that is nothing short of being striking. So if you have your Bibles open, and I certainly hope that you've brought them this morning, follow along. We're going to look at three verses here. Out of Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, beginning in verse 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." There's three commands in these three verses. Come, take, and learn. And this is where I want to just break it real down, real simple. We need to begin at the foot of the cross in our mission. And the reason that we all need to begin at the foot of the cross is if we all begin at the foot of the cross, we are all united. We are all connected. We are all close together. Some 12 months ago, I got here, and it seemed to me, it became very apparent that things were a bit frazzled going on here. Things within Trinity United Methodist Church, they weren't totally united. And so over the last 12 months, all I've really sought to do is to unite us all, to bring us all together and so that we are all on the same page, so that we are all pulling in the same direction. We're all about the same task. We're all about the same mission. But this command that Jesus says, come to me, like I said, the Pharisees, they would say this, do that, don't do that, don't do this. And so Jesus is simply saying to come to Him. And coming to Jesus indicates that we trust Him for our salvation. And only Christ alone can provide our salvation. Friends, our trust in Jesus shows our belief in Christ and Christ alone for the saving of our souls. And it's truly a decision which moves us in a direction to align with the will of Jesus. So the world would say, don't do this. The world would say, do that. The Pharisees or legalistics within Christianity will say, you have to obey this, you have to obey that, you have to believe this, you have to memorize this, you have to go here. And it became very apparent when I got here some 12 months ago that when I would ask the questions, why do we do what we do? And individuals couldn't answer that. It just shocked me that it wasn't coming from within. It was a do. It wasn't a being. And so Jesus is saying, come to Him. Now there's many of us here today that we've had frazzled weeks. And He's saying, come to me with your frazzled week. He's saying, come to me with your burdens. There's many of us here that are burdened with pain, burdened with grief, burdened with all kinds of different things. And Jesus is saying, bring it to me. come to me. He's saying, I want to meet you in that frazzledness. I want to meet you in that frustration. I want to meet you in that burden. I want to meet you in that phase of what you're experiencing in life. And friends, I don't need to remind you, but we don't have a Savior who can't relate to us. We have a Savior, Jesus, who put on flesh, put on and cloaked himself in humanity, and in all reality, he did so that he could relate to you and to me. And so when we come to Christ, we come to him knowing that he has experienced what we're experiencing. He has experienced the very grief, the very sorrow, the very struggle, the very burden, the very frustrations of whatever this world will throw at you and at me. The second command is to take Jesus' yoke. Jesus qualifies this, and he says, my yoke is easy. And the word easy literally means to be well-fitting. And if any of you have worked with animals and worked with a yoke on them, if it's not fitting them well, it will begin to chafe their neck. It will begin to irritate them. And then the animal will begin to struggle against the yoke, and they won't be very efficient in their work and in what the individual or the farmer is trying to accomplish. Friends, Jesus has a yoke that's not just good-fitting, but it's tailor-made. It's tailor-made for your life and for your need. I want you to hear that. It's tailor-made. Jesus has a yoke which is tailor-made, meaning it's well-fitting for whatever you are experiencing, whatever your need is. You see, Jesus' yoke fits exactly right. There is no chafing. And it has an equal amount of weight distribution for the heavy load that this world will place upon you and upon me. But essentially, taking Jesus' yoke, and I want to back up, some of us will come to Christ, but then we will falter at taking his yoke. Hear that. Some of us will find ourselves at the foot of the cross, but then we balk at taking the yoke of Jesus, because essentially taking Jesus' yoke will relate and mean that we are submitting our lives to him. And if we are ever going to be about the mission of Christ and Christ alone, we all need to submit our lives to him. We need and we must, as a church, as a congregation, as individuals, we must submit our life to Christ and Christ alone. But notice with me what taking Jesus' yoke will bring, and it will bring rest to your soul. And there's two types of rest. The first is peace with God. The Pharisees, they sought to heap up all these heavy burdens and do's and don'ts upon people for one objective and one thing and only one thing, and that was to make peace with the holy God. Romans 5:1, we're told, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through... Notice through whom? Not through what we do, or not through what we believe, or not through what we say, or not through where we go. It's through our Lord Jesus Christ, and it's Christ and Christ alone that we have peace with a holy God. And friends, that will bring rest. Blaise Pascal said it this way. He said, all people are born with a God-shaped void in their heart, and it's just when we try to fill that God-shaped void in our heart with things that don't fit that void, we never have rest. We never have peace. We never have solitude. We never have that tranquility of the soul. And you never will, because God is the only one that can fill that God-shaped void in your heart. Because he fills it perfectly and completely. He fills it totally. He doesn't leave anything out. And the second is the peace of God. It's not peace with God. We will receive that. And as I just mentioned, we do receive peace with God. But we also, when we take the yoke of Christ upon us, we receive the peace of God. And this is God's peace, which will fill the heart of all of us who have come to Christ and taken his yoke upon us. We're told in Philippians 4, verses 6 through 8, to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now listen to this. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts. God's peace will stand guard on your heart. He will stand guard on your mind through, notice this, through Christ Jesus. And then he continues. He says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, think on these things. I don't know about you, but in my life, there have been times that I've had such a confidence and such a peace about doing something that I just knew it was right. And it didn't matter what individuals were saying. In fact, other individuals were saying, I don't know about that. But it was a confidence. And that confidence was in the Lord. And it was the peace of God ruling my heart and ruling my mind. Because it's through Christ that we receive the peace of God welling up deep within our soul. It's that tranquility of being. It's the opposite of restlessness. And restlessness in this world looks like running to and fro, trying to appease your unsatisfied soul. And friends, the only thing that will truly satisfy your soul and my soul is the peace of God. And that peace of God comes through Christ and Christ alone and only through Christ. So as we move forward in this phase of looking at our mission, we must start at the foot of the cross and we must come to Christ and come to Him. And not only must we come to Christ, but we have to take His yoke. We have to submit our will unto His. And not holding anything back and not holding part of ourselves back from Him and saying, Jesus, you can have this part of my life, but get out of here. No. We got to say, I want nothing else but your will, Lord, and only your will, and I submit my heart, soul, and mind to you and to you alone. The third command, and the final command, is that we need to learn from Jesus. And this is a stepping into the process of being a disciple of Christ. And it's a process. It's a lifelong process. It's not an instant process. It's a lifelong process of being made more into Christ's likeness. As we learn more and more about Jesus, as we learn more from Him and learn more through Him and learn more as we commune with Him, we will find deeper peace. This is the reason why some Christians, they will never have that peace because they've chosen, I don't want the yoke of Jesus. As we commune deeper and deeper with the Lord Jesus Christ, we will experience more and more of a deeper peace. And friends, when we experience that peace, we begin to trust Jesus more and more and more. And our lives become more simplified and unified around the person of Christ. And as our lives individually are simplified and unified of glorifying God and only glorifying Jesus, then collectively our lives as a church body, as the congregation of Trinity United Methodist Church, will become simplified and unified. And we will be about one task and only one task, and it's Christ crucified and glorifying Him and only glorifying Him. And all this other chaff, this stuff that the Apostle Paul calls wind, hay, and stubble will be burned up at the end that are no good works. They will just go by the wayside because we will have submitted fully to the yoke of Christ and where He is leading you and me and all of us together. But notice with me, if you will, verse 30. Jesus says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is where I want to challenge all of us here. We already touched on briefly what Jesus meant by His yoke being easy and it's being well-fitting. And what that means, friends, is that He's not going to lay upon you or me anything that we cannot sustain or withstand. But Jesus' burden is light. And yes, many commentators, many individuals will say that this means it's light in weight and it will not be overbearing, and that may be true. I want to challenge us, and I have yet to see this anywhere, but when I read this, I think of the beginning of the creation where God, in the void of the darkness, and He said, "Let there be light," and He spoke light into the darkness. In the beginning of the Gospel of John, He said, you know what, Jesus, He was the light, and he was light. That light was the life of men. But I also go to John 8, verse 12, and I want to connect this for you. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. This is Jesus saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Could it possibly be that the burden of Christ was to shine light of God into a dark, dark world? Could it possibly be that the burden of Christ and his undying, unwavering focus while he was on this earth was to be the light in the world and to shine the light of a holy God into a dark, dark world? And I think so. I think that's exactly what he was saying. Because in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, verse 13 through 16, he turns to all those who were listening and listen to his words. And Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and to be trampled underfoot by men. And now listen to these words. He's looking at you and me, and he's saying, you and I are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. And then he exclaims, and he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You see, we all have to start at the foot of the cross. Because if we don't start at the foot of the cross, and if we don't come to Christ, if we do not take the yoke of Christ upon our lives, if we don't fully submit, then the light of Christ will never shine through our lives into this dark, dark world. And friends, that's exactly what the will of God is that Trinity United Methodist Church would be a light on a hill. It would be a light that wouldn't be hidden under a basket, but it would shine forthright out into a dark, dark world. And I'm here to tell you that this world can be pretty dark. It can be pretty dark. And Jesus wants us to shine his light through us into this world. Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to look at how we are to be in mission with each other, and more succinctly, how we are to shine our light in this world. We're going to look first at how we can serve our world by making disciples. And yes, over the next 4 weeks, it's going to be highly practical. So if many of you are sitting there wondering, okay, how do we put this in practice? Hang in there with me. Because over the next 4 weeks, it's going to be highly practical. In the second week, we're going to look at how we can serve our world through acts of service. And third, we will look at how we can serve our world by loving the unlovable. And lastly, we're going to look at the process as to how we as a church need to go about implementing our mission to shining the light of Christ into this fallen world. This morning, we're going to spend time meeting around the Lord's table, partaking in Holy Communion. And my challenge for all of us this morning is to come to Christ. Jesus said it himself. He said, come to me. He said, come. He said, I'm standing, I'm waiting, I'm here. Come to me. But my challenge, many of us have come to Christ, is to take his yoke, the well-fitting, the unchafing, the load-bearing that will never be heavy. Take it upon you. Submit your will to Christ. And then learn. Learn from Jesus as you progress through the path of discipleship and allow the light of Christ to shine through your heart and your soul into those that you come in contact with, into those people that you may never even understand how you are allowing the light of Christ to impact their life. Friends, this is an open communion. So if you're not a member here, if you're not a member of Trinity United Methodist Church, you're welcome to participate. The only requirement that we have is that you profess faith as belief in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Scripture says that if we eat and partake unworthily, then we eat and drink damnation unto our soul, and we do not want that to take place. But let us pray and let us give a blessing, God's blessing, over these elements. Gracious God, we humbly thank you, Lord, for just who you are, Jesus. We thank you, oh God, for your supreme sacrifice that you basically said, come to me. Come, here I am. Meet with me is your request. And Father, we stand on a precipice of meeting around your table, the table that you instituted with the disciples. Father, the holy table, the table that you said, do this in remembrance of me. And Father, we pause and we remember, and this table is not to be taken lightly, nor do we ever want to take it lightly. So, Father, we thank you for your bread and the bread that was your body that was broken for our sins. And we thank you for the cup that was the blood of the new covenant that was poured out for remission of sins. And Jesus, we thank you for these elements, these sacraments, whatever we want to call them. We thank you for them. We pray that you would bless them and bless them abundantly. And may you meet with us here this morning. May we honor you by how we choose to meet with you. Jesus, if we need to come to you, just draw us, woo our hearts, woo our souls, just draw us nigh unto thee. And if we have already come to you, we pray that you would just give us the courageous boldness to willfully submit our lives unto your yoke, the desires of our heart and your heart for us. And Lord, lastly, if we have taken your yoke, may we all continue to learn. May we all continue to grow in being your disciple, that we might freely allow the light of life, which is you, Jesus, to flow through us, to impact this world for your good, to expand your kingdom for your glory and for your honor and for who you are, a loving, merciful Savior. We thank you, Lord, and we pray a blessing on these elements. May you bless them and honor them, and we lift them to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave thanks. He said, take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, Jesus also took the cup. He said, take and drink. This is the blood of the new covenant, my blood, which is poured out for you, remission of your sins. Take and drink in remembrance of me.
Bring you. peace to love and to serve the Lord and steal away with him in just those special moments. Amen.